Good morning.
Good morning.
So, you know, you and I have been coordinating this for a while, and ever since I went to my first Breaking Barriers class, I said, this is really powerful stuff. And I knew I had to get you on the program, and you're just always really busy, so I'm really glad we could get a chance for you to come and talk.
Thank you.
So I guess maybe we could start about you. You just told me that you're in your 20th anniversary.
Celebrated my 20th anniversary at the sheriff's office yesterday.
And in your history, had you always been a program coordinator? Or
once
how'd that
we
work?
Started programming in the jail back in 1998, I was one of the people that started with that. Sergeant Barbara Perry spearheaded that. We had a sale program at that time. It ran for about 6 years till 2003 when budget cuts, staffing levels kind of put it on hold for a while. And it was always on the back burner. We never forgot about it. And it's something that the sheriff believes in as well. My management staff is very supportive of programming, and we know that it's very mm-hmm. important. And so it was never went away, never was out of our mind. It just had to, we had to stop for a little bit. Then we were able to bring it back last year through a grant that we received. And so we started programming again in September of 2010. And I'm just finishing up this week with my 15th class. And so I know that I will have till the end of the year to do a few more classes. And then at the end of the year, we'll assess where we're at. Our grant will end, and we're looking at other options and things to do so we can keep programming in our facility.
When I was at one of your Breaking Barrier classes, Sheriff was there, and you know, he emphasized that, you know, being in the county jail is not vacation, but however, you do have a commitment to thinking about this programming or the quality care that our inmates get. You want to talk about that philosophy and where it comes from? Does it come from, you know, obviously your jail commander, but and your sheriff? But was there a time culturally when there was a shift, do you think, or has that always been a part of our system?
I'm not exactly sure if the shift came at a certain time. I don't remember a time where our office, I think we've always been supportive of programming and knowing that we had to do something different. And I think that our philosophy can kind of be summed up in our mission statement and our vision statement. And if I may, our mission is to serve our community by providing a safe and secure facility where people are treated with dignity and respect and learn to be accountable for their actions. And our vision statement is that our vision is to challenge the traditional paradigm of corrections by providing an atmosphere where people see the value in positive change. We offer opportunities for growth, and we live our values on a daily basis. And I think that's our philosophy, about programming and just bringing something to the table so people can learn to make better mm-hmm. choices because they're returning to our communities. We want them to think differently and have a better quality of life for themselves and for their community.
Yeah, you know, when I get the chance to visit the jail, especially when I'm going through the kind of the containment areas, I'm not sure what the correct term is, but, you know, it makes a person a little bit nervous. I mean, there's, you know, really a sense of you know, that controlled environment. And going to my first Breaking Barriers classes, and we should probably explain what this is in a second, you know, I was a little nervous about being in an open room with so many inmates, but I really felt there was a sense of trust, and I'm thinking that the Breaking Barriers class opens potentially that up. And I know it's a very special moment for them, but maybe to rewind here, I'm getting nebulous. Let's talk about those specific programs. Maybe you listed before the programs that operate. Can you tell us about those?
Sure. Right now I'm currently running a two-week program. My first week starts with Breaking Barriers. That comes from the Gordon Graham Company, which is now InStar Performance. They do a cognitive restructuring program. Teaches people, we take an issue from beginning to solution. Teaches us how to think differently, kind of think outside of the box. And takes us 4 days to get from beginning to end. Yeah. Once we get to the end, then we can take any problem that we're having in our life, you know, whether it's biting our fingernails or perhaps we need to exercise more or make, you know, eat healthier. Then we can sit down and do an action plan that takes 5 or 10 minutes. So a whole week to learn how to do something that we can use for the rest of our lives. My second week is done, is broken up into little classes. Gus Willeman, our inmate counselor, does an afternoon and a morning of alcohol and drug, alcohol and drug information. Mm-hmm. The Truman Center comes in and does a couple hours of gambling prevention. I do some stress management work. We work do a lot of work on self-esteem, which mm-hmm. I think is a huge issue, and a couple other little things like that. I'm always open to anybody who has information out there that they think would be helpful to, you know, come in and share that with our class. It's great.
Well, I obviously haven't been in high school for a while, but, you know, I majored in psychology. I don't know if you even learn cognitive restructuring in high school these days. So we're talking about some life skills, some information that maybe a lot of people don't even get in their youth that can really be important.
I believe that's correct. I think that if we could start younger, we could put this into the curriculum of high schools, that we would have probably less problems than we do as adults, I believe.
The Breaking Barriers class is one of this list. Or is this a breakout? Were these a breakout of some of the things that happened in Breaking Barriers? Can you define Breaking Barriers?
Breaking Barriers was put together by a man named Gordon Graham, who calls himself a consumer of correctional services for about 27 years of his life. And when he got out of prison for the last time, he went to some classes and he realized that it wasn't society, it was him.
Okay, so the founder of the program was actually in jail for a while. That's what you mean when you say he was a consumer.
Correct.
Huh.
He was in prison a few different times.
And so he really understood from the inmate perspective.
He did. Once he got that information, the first thing he wanted to do was take it back into the facility where he grew up. He went to prison for the first time as a very young man and grew up in custody, basically.
And that's got to be key. When you think about the options of the course material that you could provide the students, inmates, that's got to be very interesting take on the cognitive stuff and for them, because he knows.
Coming from somebody who's been there, done that, yes.
Can you talk about maybe what he might have known that would make the course better as a result of that?
I think that once he went to that class and realized that it was him, he worked it in a way, wanted to develop it in a way that was easy for somebody who'd been in his shoes to understand. Kind of simplified a little bit,
mm-hmm.
take it back to the facilities. And he has done, you know, he's been out of custody for, I can't tell you exactly, but it's well over 35 years now. And has been able to take it to prisons all over the country, as well as General Motors. He does a lot of private company work, mm-hmm. doing the same kind of using the same concepts. So it's not just for people in custody. It's anybody who's having an issue in their life can use this program to make different changes and think differently, think outside the box to solution.
You've had a lot of great teachers in your life, and I've seen you at graduation. Discuss with your students, and they end up having a lot of respect for you, but you walk the walk and
talk the talk.
It seems to me like you do. Can you tell me how the great teachers in your life have inspired you to come into this program and really be passionate about giving this information to our inmates?
I have been blessed to have great teachers in my life, and a couple of them I've met through working with Gordon Graham and Company. I was really blessed when we first started doing the program back in 1998 to get involved with a couple people in their company and do some facilitating outside of my facility with Gordon Graham and a gal named Annette Bessie who worked for Gordon at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And also the first person who ever taught me Breaking Barriers was Carl Reddick, who worked for Parole and Probation at the time. And Judy Marshall also was involved in our cell program. She taught some codependency classes for the inmates. And And just, I think one of the things that she taught me, one of the best lessons, one of the hardest lessons I've learned, and one of the best lessons that Judy Marshall taught me was to be open to outcome, not attached to it. And so I've just been inspired to take that message that I've learned that has impacted my life personally and give it to people, because I know that if you use this information, it will change your life. But you have to do the work. Mm-hmm. It's not just a magic bean that I hand you and it takes care of itself. You have to plant it and water it, weed it, and take care of it like anything else. But as long as you're doing the work, you will be successful, period.
I imagine you see so many psychological situations in which someone comes into your Breaking Barriers class. Can you talk about, you know, the common issue that maybe students have to overcome? What do you see?
The biggest issue is alcohol and drug addiction, followed by, I'm not sure if it's ahead of it or behind it, by a margin, and that is self-esteem, low self-esteem.
Gotcha.
And when I think when we have addiction issues, it diminishes our self-esteem. So I think they're all tied in together, but that's the biggest problem, I believe.
And really the coursework and the thinking with a class is to take control of your choices?
It's to think outside the box, and that it doesn't have to be this way if you don't want it to be. I think sometimes when people spend significant amount of time in an addiction, you can't see outside of that. And coming into a place where you are clean and sober, and someone's saying you can change if you want to, you have to do the work, but here's how to take control of your life. Here are some issues. I think the three most important concepts that we teach are operating in what's called your circle of influence. That's where the only thing you have control over is yourself. You don't have control over anybody else, so let's forget about them. And what can you do in that situation? The second most important concept, I feel, is positive self-talk. How we talk to ourselves is huge. And that little voice in our head, you know, that 85% of the conversations we have are with ourselves. So how is it that we're talking to ourselves? And would you talk to your best friend the way that you're talking to yourself?
Yeah, what a great analogy.
And the third thing is positive motivation. How we motivate ourselves when we choose to do something, as opposed to, I have to do this. You know, I have to mow the lawn. You don't have to do anything. So it's a choice, you know, choose to mow the lawn and do it with abandon and be done with it.
Yeah, and just anything. It seems to me that a lot of, and part of the Breaking Barriers process is this graduation that you ask us to attend.
Yes.
And we go in, and if the inmates seem like they want to, they can discuss how they felt about the program. Well, and a lot of people are just profoundly affected by this. Like, wow, you know.
I think it becomes a light bulb moment.
Yeah, that must be nice. But not everybody gets the light bulb moment.
No, they don't.
I mean, it seems like some students have even taken the class twice or more.
I actually, right now, I'm finishing up with my female inmates. They've been in custody. I have a couple who have been in custody, haven't left custody, but this is their third time through, and each time it just builds those concepts stronger in their mind. And I do have people who, you know, do have not significant, but little successes, but they do end up coming back for different reasons. But the ultimate success is somebody taking this information and never coming back to jail again.
Right.
But how do you measure success? Success is also somebody who gets this information and makes positive changes in their life, but maybe they didn't pay their fines, so they have to come back to jail. Maybe they didn't show up for a work crew, so they have to come back to jail, but their sobriety is still intact.
Yeah.
And sometimes they relapse, but they get right back on track soon. So that's success also.
Yeah. This is like a seed that, at least that gets planted.
Exactly.
I mean, even if your conscious mind forgets it, hopefully it's growing in the subconscious mind. And I think that could be very well true, though, that this, even if you did not see these concepts work right away, something might click later down the line. That's the hope you got to have.
Yes,
you know?
It is. And the best lesson is to be open to outcome, not attached to it. So
Can you talk about any of the other concepts you get taught in the class? Maybe we could talk about the length so people know the Breaking Barriers program. I mean, it's a two-week course? Or
my whole program is 2 weeks. My first week is Breaking Barriers, and it's about 28 hours.
Mm-hmm. God, that's a lot. That can be a lot of information.
It is a lot of information. And that's one of the problems. It is a lot of information really fast. You know, we try to slow it down enough so that we're internalizing the concepts. But like I said, once you get through that first week and you get the how to do it, then you can sit down with any problem you're having and do an action plan in 5 or 10 minutes and work through the problem. We also have these little excuses that we use to justify our bad behavior usually, whether it's biting our fingernails or anything else like that. And that's one of the things I want them to do is take those excuses out of their pockets so they don't have those to fall back on.
Now, you described it as having little, what, fortune cookie?
That's how I picture excuses. They're about the size of fortune cookies. We tuck them up, we fold them up, tuck them in our pocket, and then we pull them out whenever we need a handy-dandy little excuse.
So you as well even sometimes might
stuff
a little excuse in your pocket?
I try to keep my pockets clean, but every once in a while one will creep in there.
And what did you say someone had said to you about those excuses?
I was using that for an example, and I had torn up pieces of paper, stuffed them in my pocket during a graduation. Uh-huh. I was pulling them out saying, get rid of all your excuses. And one of my students picked up all the excuses, and he said, Deputy Reiswick, I picked up all your excuses, and I didn't tuck any in my pocket.
That's great. You know, well, I'm glad you're walking the walk and talking the talk, Ty
Ray. Thank you very much.
That's fantastic. And any last thoughts? We've got about 2 minutes left for our listeners.
I just hope that this is something that we can continue to do. I think it's critical for people to get information so they can continue to make better choices for themselves. I have people who are out there having some successes right now. I'm very excited about that, mm-hmm. people who keep in touch with me. So I always tell my students, I give them my contact information and tell them, if you're having an issue regarding this information and I can help you over a problem, please contact me. You know, they have my email address, they have my phone number, and they have my address, regular mail address. So,
well, that's wonderful. Yeah,
available.
Maybe we could have you on the program again. You know, I've taken some audio and during your graduations, and I think we've got some good material that we could use, and maybe give people a little bit more of a looking glass into the tone and the feeling that's coming from someone when they finish a Breaking Barriers class. And as always, this program is a half an hour or an hour too short to really dive into everything that's being done. But if you've been listening to the program, we've been talking to Ty Ray Reiswick. She's the program coordinator at the Lincoln County Jail. We've been talking about the Breaking Barriers class, which is very good stuff. So thanks for everything that you do and being a great leader.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, we're kind of coming to a close here with Lincoln County Connections. And I do want to remind you that every week this program is featured on KCUP. One of the great features of KCUP here is Bob King uploads those programs to kcup.net. And you can actually download or stream those programs later at your leisure. They do seem to rotate through every week, don't they, Bob? They do. So you kind of do have to get on the program that week if you want to secure one that you've missed. We do download those programs and archive them on the county website. So this program will be there as well. And we really appreciate that. Remember that coming up next week, we'll have another program, Tuesday at 8:30. Thanks for listening today. And we'll see you next week on Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller. Have a great day.